Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Let me just...
Hi. Keep that in the trailer.
Hi, Halifax.
It's me, Reese, from Canadian Politics is Boring, with Jesse from Canadian Politics is Boring.
Hello.
We've got a live show. We should have run it.
Reese loves improv-ing.
We've got a live show. Do you hear? In person.
This totally sounds scripted, doesn't it?
Yeah.
No, we're finally doing a live show in person, in the flesh. If you are in Halifax, Nova Scotia, this Thursday, August the...
19th.
August the 19th at around 6 p.m.-ish, we will be in Grand Parade in downtown Halifax, performing on stage the Halifax Trivia.
Ultimate Halifax Trivia. Ultimate Halifax Quiz.
This is a really good trailer. I messed this up so much.
It's fine.
So Reese is going to come up with questions about Halifax, and me and other participants, other comedians are going to be tested and for a undisclosed prize that he's going to present to the winner.
It's free.
And after our little Ultimate Halifax Quiz, there will be other comedians performing. There will be other sources of entertainment.
We'll hang out.
By the time it comes,
it'll be close to my bedtime.
Yeah, probably, right? But it's free. This Thursday, the 19th, Grand Parade, 6 p.m. Come down, say hi, have a good time.
And if you don't live in Halifax or Nova Scotia, you live in a different province, I'm very sorry.
Thanks for listening to our ad for other people having a good time that you can't join in on.
Just because you were born in the wrong province, we can't help that. So
yeah, that's kind of sad.
On
with the show!
A playlist original.
Just watch me.
The medium is the message.
Proof is a proof. What kind of proof? It's a proof.
It has no core identity.
Mashed potatoes are no gravy, you know what I'm saying?
Speaking moistly on them.
Hello and welcome to Just Watch Me. I'm Kate.
And I'm Liv. And today on the podcast, we have two very special guests from a podcast called Canadian Politics is Boring. So in their podcast, Reese attempts to convince Jesse that Canadian politics aren't actually a fiery roller coaster full of murder, double crossing, and infamy. Their show has broken the top 5 podcasts in Canada on Apple Podcasts. So we hope that by a mere association, we might propel our own show to the same success. Welcome to Jesse and Reese.
Finally, the truth comes out.
Hey, thank you for having us.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having us.
It's always been a ploy. So why don't we... maybe introduce yourselves. We're interested to know about your show, how it came to be. How does a Welshman end up meeting a Canadian and starting a podcast? What's your origin story there?
Well, I was exiled from Wales.
It's true.
I'm joking.
Because he's such a rabid nudist.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, public nudist.
They don't allow it, but they do in Canada on one beach in HRM.
And that's you spend the majority of your time. Yeah.
I moved to Canada 3 years ago, and me and Jesse were working together, making pretty average corporate films.
I would say soul-sucking corporate films.
But we always had a riot when we were in a room together. And I was like, oh, we should do a podcast one day. And then
for about a year and a half, every 2 months, you would text me with a podcast idea. And yeah. I would say, yes, let's do that. That's a great idea. And it would never happen. Never. Until about 2 years later, you text me with the one podcast idea I genuinely didn't want to do, which is Canadian politics. And you fucking ran with it. Can we swear on your show?
Please do.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is that I just watched my first ever Canadian election, which I can't vote. I mean, there's going to be another one. I can't vote because I'm only a permanent resident, not a citizen.
But our podcast can run.
Yeah, yeah, I can talk
because
about
if a talking walking peanut can run, yeah, yeah. Then our podcast as a format, as a medium, can run in the election, and I think we should.
We should, yeah. Just have a podcast as a candidate. I was like, I was so wrapped up in like what was going on with Brexit back in the UK. It was like, I need to learn about politics because I'm really invested here. My kids are pretty much Canadian 3 years later. You know, they love it here, so I should stop looking at British stuff and look more at Canadian stuff. And I really knew nothing. So I was like, well, what if I Jesse only votes because his friends make him.
It's true.
And then I want to learn about it. So what if I'm one lesson ahead of a Canadian teaching a Canadian about their own politics? That was it. And then like, we're like 110 episodes in, and I actually know a lot more about the Canadian system.
I've never learned more about the Canadian politics system in my entire
life. Jesse has somehow managed to be entertained and interested in Canadian politics for the first time in his life.
That's true.
So then would you say that you've accomplished your mission? Like,
yep, we're done.
That's it.
So
what's the verdict at the end of the day? Is Jesse, like, is Canadian politics truly boring?
Oh, God, no. It's now an ironic title. Because the world of Canadian politics is boring, and so it can keep sticking that way despite me having changed my mind on the topic. But Canadian politics is anything but boring. It's some of the examples Reese has given me. I want to double down on these. I want to do more of who's
Mackenzie King.
Yeah. Is a mate. Like, oh my!
Completely under-discussed how crazy the Mackenzie King life story really is.
His own TV show, like his own miniseries. So like, it's crazy. Yeah, if you can have an entire podcast on Doug Ford, you can have an entire podcast on Mackenzie King.
So Jesse, we have something to tell you. Katie and I have a drinking game, actually, of every time during your podcast that you say this should be a miniseries.
Oh.
You need to email them to us to remind us.
Yeah, that's great. Oh my God. No, hold on. Please tell me that's true. Is that actually true? Because that would be amazing if someone actually made a drinking game.
Okay, well, it was something I took note of in your podcast. Was I drinking while listening to your podcast? Cannot confirm or deny.
It's more, it doesn't have to be experience.
Highly suggested.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you had to, maybe we'll go there. If you had to pick one of the stories from Canadian Spies or Boring to make into a miniseries, what would it be?
Oh my God.
I think it would have to be
Cameron Otis.
No, Igor Gazenko.
Oh yeah, right.
Because like, you know, he...
Because he was seduced by Ottawa.
Number two, he thought he was being sent back to Russia to be punished because he thought he'd done something wrong.
And they were celebrating
a kid, and his wife was pregnant with like another daughter. And then, you know, the fact that he was like, right, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna let Canada know and the Western countries know that Russia's spying on them, and I'm gonna give them all the information. And then to go to the police station and for them not to believe him, and then to go somewhere else, and then have to go home. And then I go, can we hide in your apartment, to their neighbor? Then to hear the KGB like go through all this stuff, you know, it's just such an epic story.
It is an epic story. I mean, that would make an amazing like one-off Netflix series.
And exactly. And then for him to then spend the rest of his life, when he did public appearances, to talk about his book, to wear a pillowcase over his head with eye holes cut out.
Yeah,
because he was because he was on the run from the KGB.
Did you tell me that? Was that in the show?
Yeah,
he wore a hat. I didn't know he wore a pillowcase.
Was there a pillow? I was sure it looked like a pillowcase or something over his
like
head.
Like a balaclava?
I would have worn a balaclava because a pillowcase is
like, that makes a lot of sense. Like that's,
I feel like a balaclava we would have remembered.
That slipped a few inches to the right or left, and you got a pointy edge of the running straight up. That's not a good look.
Anyone cold? Do you want me to light this piece of wood? You know, it's dangerous.
That was pretty wild part of the story when you revealed that he had brought his documents, he had brought his stuff to the RCMP, and they were like, no thanks, it's okay. Like, espionage is usually something that the cops kind of care about. Like, the fact that they had to convince, he had to convince them was pretty wild.
Also, Mackenzie King, like, just being fed up and going, oh, this is going to be work. Can we just pretend it didn't happen? You know, for him to be like, he was obviously burnt out from World War II, which is understandable, but he just won't accept the truth that Russia has had a lot of moles in Canada, really. That was the most easy to translate to screen.
Was Mackenzie King not believing? Well, then we can do a spin-off, just the whole story.
But I
thought you were going to say the most believable aspect of that was Mackenzie King not believing him. Which would be great, because then we could use that and really like hone in on that for an episode, and then hopefully do a spin-off called Oh Mackenzie.
It's like a sitcom.
Right. Yeah. That could be the tagline, the slogan in the show. Oh Mackenzie.
Changing gears slightly back to the spies.
Oh, really?
If I might.
Talking about spies.
Do we need an ASMR break?
So you're main podcast, like we talked about, is about politics, and now you're talking about spies. So how did that happen? What was it about? Was there a particular story that really got you invested?
We did an experiment last December where we did the Winter Festival of Unaligned
Celebration Advent Calendar,
WFUCAC, which was from the first,
which Reese can't remember the acronym.
Yeah, yeah.
Up to this day.
I don't remember my own acronym. But it was basically every day leading up to the 25th, we did a daily show that was just talking about funny politics in winter or to do with seasonal holidays and everything like that.
Like one of them was, guess how many Canadians drink eggnog here? Like it was just stupid little. And the funny thing is Reese meant to have that be like a 3-minute little podcast per day. And it ended up being like 20 minutes every single day.
I edited a daily show for 25 days. It was tough. But but it went really well. Like we got really good feedback from the listeners. And now they expect us to do one every year, which I'm already.
You really painted yourself in a corner there. I knew that was going to happen, by the way. I don't know how you didn't see that.
But I thought we were getting to the middle of the year. And I was like, oh, we should do something else. And we thought like roughly in the middle of the year, it'd be good to do another daily. And I was, because the show's about politics, and we're trying to find stories about politics, a lot of these spy stories didn't really fit. I'd come across them because spying and politics kind of goes hand in hand. But I was like, oh, it'd be cool if we just did a season of spy shows. And then also it might draw a new audience in because, you know, a lot of people don't even waste their time even testing out political content. But if you talk about spies and something different, that might draw people in. And it was just an experiment for those reasons, I guess. But it's just fun. I like the intensity of doing a run of daily shows and just to choose.
He says that before before he does them, but then in the middle and at the end, he swears he'll never do one again.
Yeah, yeah.
But then he does.
Terrible idea. I think the research was, you know, I'm always finding, I compulsively research the episodes.
You find shit that no one's heard of. I don't like it's not just me who's blown away. Other people are like, how the fuck does Reese find this stuff?
The one I'm most proud of though, and this is really
Wolfgate.
I don't know if you listened to that episode about the military were testing out
it's the most
whether they could make people
story.
In the Annapolis Valley in Nova Scotia believe in wolves by playing the sounds of wolves howling. and it was just a weird experiment to try and influence public opinion. So a lot of people, it was a really random article that I found and we talked about it, but one of our listeners had a gift for Jesse recently and lived locally. And he recently retired from spying. Essentially, he was working for the Canadian government as in terms of in that field. I can't remember exactly what he said in terms of his what he did, but he just retired. And he said when he listened to the episode, he was asking around, like, what the hell were they doing? Because he hadn't heard of it either, and he was working in the department.
That's so amazing. It's kind of
I just troll the internet looking for these random articles and news things.
Did you say you troll the internet that we just said?
Yeah. Troll. T-R-A-W-L. Like a trawler.
What?
Trawl.
Trawl.
Yeah.
What's to trawl?
To troll. Where you just drive, you just plow through stuff. Like a... Anyway. I go on the internet and I read and I make notes and I go, that'd be a good story. And then we build an episode out.
Probably. Now Reese is describing the act of researching. Thank you, Reese.
Google Doc with about 45 future episodes kind of in notes already. And I've got a problem.
That's great. You've got like a release for that problem. It's not illegal. It's great.
Talk about it now. It's fine.
So in your episode on CSIS, you are filling out an application to be a member of CSIS. And I just want to know, has anyone called you about that?
I didn't actually finish it. I kind of feel like I breached the rules of not being...
You blew it by doing it live on a podcast.
I just don't think I'd be a very good spy because I don't know. I think
I just want you to get the interview. I don't want you to actually be a spy. Just go for the interview. Can you imagine? That'd be a feather in your cap.
I'm terrible because if I feel uncomfortable, I have to make jokes. And job interviews are not the time to make a joke.
It's probably not a good characteristic for a spy.
Exactly.
Now I'm not wearing a wire.
Call it a laser.
I wonder if you have to sign an NDA just after interviewing with CSIS. I bet you they got that shit on lock.
Yeah.
It must.
Yeah, you've got to sign like... In the UK, they call it the Official Secrets Act. I don't know if they call it here or whatever, but...
The Official Secrets Act is such a cute name for that.
It's like something that like a 10-year-old will give to someone else in their treehouse.
Yeah. In the tax office, you've got to like sign the official Secrets. You're looking at people's confidential
information. After spinning around three times, hitting your head three times and swearing off women.
Right, yeah.
It's the Official Secrets Promise of the Yaya Sisterhood.
But I find it really interesting. Like we showed some of the recruitment videos. They were like we were saying. It looked like a J.J. Abrams kind of directed them. They weren't quite that production standard, but the style was very much. They were really good, but it just blew my mind that they were like going, well, let's embrace popular culture and the style of how people see spying in popular culture, even though everyone else I know. Or every other time I've seen it, they try and downplay. They go, it's not like the movies. It's actually quite boring. You sat in a van listening to people's phone calls for 12 hours a day, 6 days a week or whatever, or it's just paperwork or setting up a network or something. And Canada didn't go for that. They were like, let's just bullshit to get as many people to apply as possible. Let's make it look as sexy as possible. And then when they're disappointed, it's too late. They've signed the Official Secrets Act and they're earning 60 grand a year and they won't want to quit.
Okay, so now I'm going to give you a teeny, teeny pop quiz about your own show.
You fail.
Where I'm going to ask you some questions about the different episodes and you can just give maybe our listeners a little bit of a teaser of what to expect, maybe entice them to come listen to certain episodes. So since we're talking about CSIS, let's start with CSIS. Can you tell us a little bit about what CSIS stands for and how it was birthed?
And the point of this question is that I would bet that most Canadians don't know we have a Canadian intelligence service of our own.
I think I've met up a lot of people who've heard of CSIS. I always
grew up with CSIS.
That's true. Yeah.
You included. Canadian, I can't remember.
The Canadian
Secret Intelligence Service. That's my guess.
I mean, there's an I.
It's not a guess. I should
have a couple
know.
I's and E's in there. Yeah, I think, yeah. Or the PH, maybe a silent Q.
But that's my dyslexia. I can tell you exactly why it was set up because the too many moles and the Royal Mounted Police had failed so badly at maintaining.
It's not the question. Yeah, that's true.
They did. So true. Like how you did ask me that question, didn't you?
I can confirm that question was asked by me.
Sorry,
Jesse.
For the podcast listeners, Reese was telling me to shut my face.
And then
not anybody else.
Nobody else, just Jesse. But the They set it up because it needed to be civilian run because the Mounties hadn't done a great job and they needed to do it differently.
What a surprise.
In a nutshell, I guess.
Okay, next question.
Okay.
Can you tell the listeners why you say James Bond is Canadian?
Because he is.
James Bond is fictitious, but he was...
Really? He's not a real guy?
I know. It's sorry. Sorry to break this bubble.
He kept transforming into new people every time.
Ian Fleming went to Camp X, which is where they train new spies, and he went there with one of the lead spies at Camp X, and he actually became friends with him and was inspired by this man. I forget the guy's name.
William Stevenson.
From
Manitoba.
Of Manitoba, right. Okay, so he was inspired by William Stevenson to... create a fictional character based off of his friend who he met during Camp X, where he was learning to be a spy. Is that accurate enough?
Yeah. And in Camp X, they learned how to kill people really well
with screwdrivers and small everyday objects
with a nasty look.
My next question is, do you think Canadians just...
like, do you know if we're telling the truth or not? Because can we just bullshit you?
No, we
listen to the... We listen to the podcast. Do you think Canadians deserve a Bond? And if so, what would his name be?
See, I think they should just get a Canadian actor to play James Bond.
Like who? Do you have in mind? Seth Rogen, I guess, is the best week Canada has to offer.
But I think if Canada had a Bond, it would be like a Seth Rogen type.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that Canada could have a serious Bond, like a self-serious Bond.
I mean, I could see Justin Trudeau moving on to being a spy because he did act, didn't he? Performed in like a world. Yeah.
You mean like a fictional spy, not like a real spy.
I think like as he could go to places as Justin Trudeau, the former prime minister, whenever he's done in office, you know, as prime ministers and as presidents do. But while he's there, dun, 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 he puts on like another man's mask of that person's skin over his, that's how it works, right? And then
is that what they're still doing this?
It's very Charlie's Angels. Yeah, exactly.
Is that what the disguise team is working on in 2021? I think maybe not.
I mean, so everyone, even though James Bond was a spy, the bad guys always knew his name and knew who he was. So
yeah, so yeah. True. Yeah,
which seemed like an error, right? Like
I know exactly who. Oh, shit.
It's So Reese, you allege the Cold War started in Canada. Can you explain why you make that allegation and give us a little teaser of the events that led to the Cold War that took place in Canada?
Yeah, so during World War II, while the Allies were fighting with the Soviet Union, the Soviet Union were already thinking ahead to the end of the war and had established spy networks to a lot of Western countries to steal nuclear secrets and to, you know, find out what they were up to. And Igor Gazenko, who was working in the Soviet embassy in Ottawa, revealed that there was this network of spies in Canada. And it was the first allied country to really realize that they had this going on and that they were being spied on by Joseph Stalin and the crew, as he called them, I guess.
Just Stalin.
You know, Stalin and the crew.
Stalin and the crew.
Khrushchev and the rest.
But Reese, can you tell us about the illegals program and how it operated in Canada?
Yeah, so it was kind of real deep cover spies. The idea was if you met a spy who was from the illegals program, as far as you knew, they were either born in Canada or they were typically from a lot of them had come from Canada, but they would seem as American or Western as they were supposed to be, as if they'd lived their whole lives and they had no hint of being from abroad, really. And they would steal the identities of dead people from those countries, start families, build businesses. And it was, when it was exposed, it kind of blew people's minds, the level they'd gone to in terms of like planting these people that were almost undetectable, really.
We did an episode, if anyone's interested, on Gordon Lonsdale. So that was, he was a fake Canadian too. And he had a similar story to an illegal. he like stole an identity.
Oh, really?
A dead Canadian, or like a child dead who had died. Yeah. Okay. In Canada. And then he went to England and did some crazy stuff.
And we did it because the RCMP was key in, was critical in bringing down the Portland spiring because of Gordon Lonsdale. But my favorite part about learning about the illegals was that they went so far to do all this stuff, to create these fake identities, to, they were like supposedly excellently trained, but a lot of reports found that a lot of them were quite ineffectual and kind of did nothing and kind of did like weird harassment espionage and not actually like, you know, bringing down North America, and mostly just would like, I don't know, screw with people when they weren't at home.
That's what I loved about the Americans, the TV show, was that, you know, they played it off where the one, you know, the wife was still really on course with a mission, and the husband was like, oh, I quite like 1980s America and Reagan. This is pretty cool. I got a Trans Am. I don't know.
Seduced by the Trans Am.
Exactly. So I like how the, you know, this, to stay true to that mission for so long, having kind of living in that environment and stuff, is so weird. And I felt I was so happy the kids got citizenship, because like, what a rug to have pulled under from you. Hey kids, turns out that your parents, they stole the identities of two dead Canadians. They're actually spies for a foreign country, and you have to go and live in Russia now. When you're a teenager, you're going through enough already. You don't need that.
I don't know. Looking back on me growing up in Canada. Yeah, thank you. Please continue.
when we first moved to Canada, our first Canada Day as a family, like with my wife and my kids, we were kind of like, is this what you do? Do you wave flags on your head? And we bought loads of stuff, and we were just like, and I was like, we were like joking about the fact it was like we were calling ourselves the Canadians. Put the hat on, the maple leaf on, and everything. So you
have an episode about weapons of mass destruction in Canada. And I was pretty surprised to find out that there is some, I don't even know what to call them, bombs off the coast of Nova Scotia. So can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it's the end of World War II. They were like, hey, we made all these bombs and bullets and things and chemical weapons. Well, there's a lot of chemical weapons. So they just dumped them in the ocean. And then on a map.
Seems safe.
Yeah.
Like, I think I asked you this before, but do you know if they're radioactive in nature?
I don't think they're radioactive, but I think there's some bad stuff in there.
Because there was the Maritime, not the Maritime provinces, but specifically Nova Scotia, maybe PEI in New Brunswick. So, okay, the Maritime provinces have the highest rate of cancer in all of Canada, to the point where they're issuing, like, they've issued a study. They're like, what the fuck is going on? That's weird.
Oh, I heard about this. It's so funny that you said that. Yeah, it's true.
If it has anything to do with dumping of radioactive weapons outside.
And then the lobster that, like, grow on top of them, and then we eat them.
Yeah. I don't think lobsters grow. So
they
like
go,
plants.
It's glowing, and they go on there, and they go.
Yeah.
You see the blue ones? That's where the blue ones come from.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I think, like, yeah, it's been there for 60 years. And I, because like we said in the episode, there's a bunch of missing nuclear weapons that are in bogs or at the bottom of the ocean. And they do have, you know, fissionable materials. Is that the right term? I don't know. Nuclear, potentially, like, you know, nuclear material and radiation could leak out of them in the future. If like salt water corrodes or whatever, or a rock falls on it.
Salt water corrodes.
I love that nuclear weapons are missing. It's like, oh, I thought it was in this cupboard. Like, how do you?
it's Savannah in Georgia. There's a bomb that is famously lost in the bogs there. And I spoke to a guy because I was pitching an idea to the BBC about missing nuclear weapons that they never got made. But I spoke to him, and he had spent his whole life looking for missing bombs, and he lived near where this bomb is supposed to be. And it's just mind-blowing. You think that half the community want to find it and work out where it is and get it. The other half would want to ignore it and just carry on with life. it's such a weird thing to try and wrap your head around. It's like, should we look for this weapon that could wipe us all out or poison the waterways? Or should we just pretend it's not there and just drink this beer and just chill out? You know?
What's your favorite episode of your miniseries and why?
The last one, because it's over.
Pretty sad.
Well, that you guys are really solid. Yeah.
I like the William Stevenson one, the one about, you know, the Canadian James Bond, just because I think I'd heard of him before, but in the UK they like to rewrite history to say he was British because Canada, you know, because of the Canadian connection and, you know, being part of the Commonwealth and everything, like British spy master. And but he wasn't, he was like a Canadian. And and also I was so surprised that so few Canadians know that about him, because he pretty much created all of these, kind of like the CIA and MI6 are all based around his work and what he did. So like modern spy culture and popular culture and everything is just created by this one guy from Manitoba who had also was an incredible businessman as well, who built like, who was, you know, the kind of hotshot billionaire of his day, I guess. And then gave all his time and energy and resources for free to become, to set up like his own off the book spy agency. It's just crazy. I just think that it's just fascinating and not talked about enough, I guess. Maybe it is. I'm just in the wrong.
No, place. I completely agree. I'm actually from Winnipeg, and like, people in Winnipeg love to talk about everything that's from Winnipeg, especially Winnie the Pooh. I don't know if you knew that. And
I do.
Yeah, now you do. And
egg.
And not a mention of James Bond being actually from Manitoba.
It should be a museum.
I think
100%. 100%. $1 million idea right there.
Winnie the Peg Museum?
No, Winnie the Peg.
Winnie the Peg.
It's just a clothes peg in a forest. A little boy playing with the peg. Sorry.
Oh, God.
I thought, again, I'm from the UK. Everybody used to pretend that was like a British story. Because they
Winnie the Pooh?
I think British.
Well, it is. It is. The only part of it that's from Winnipeg is the bear. The bear was like, it was like the child named the bear Winnie. After Winnipeg. So it's like, it's a loose connection.
Well, there's a Canadian Heritage moment like for it. And I don't know how much truth is in this Canadian Heritage minute, but like, yeah, the author of Winnie the Pooh was walking with his kid and they in Winnipeg, and they come across the zoo and they see the little bear named Winnie after Winnipeg. And the kid's like, you should name your cartoon character after Winnie. The name it Winnie the Pooh.
So let's talk about what's next for you both. On your podcast, on your regular podcast and in your life, but let's start with the podcast.
What's next?
What's next?
Well, I don't know. We just finished like we had a strange month where Samsung decided to get involved, and we did like a photo shoot where we were using Samsung gear and stuff. That was weird. And
my favorite part about that Samsung promotional offer is that they literally paid for promotional material of Reese and I like catching frisbees and playing tennis and running. We're two like middle-aged men like badly doing these exercises. But the best part of these paid Instagram and Twitter promotional pieces was that they made no mention of who we actually were or our podcast. We just it's just suddenly two men, just
two unfit men
using Samsung. And that's it. Not like Reese and Jesse from the Canadian Politics is Boring podcast. Nope. Just here's Reese in his pool enjoying his.
So yeah, just two very average funny. Looking men floating around. And
don't get me wrong, I'm eternally grateful that Samsung wanted to sponsor us. It's just a very funny way of going about it. Yeah.
I don't know whether we're going to do more stuff like that. I have no idea. Maybe that was the first and last time.
Who knows? We'll find out.
Maybe we traumatized Samsung. But I think we'll definitely do Wafakak in the winter coming up. So we'll do from the 1st of December.
We're hoping to do something with the election coming up.
Yes. Yeah. With the election, September. We're going to do our own election coverage as an alternative to.
I still coverage. Thoroughly, and like no joke, I really think our podcast should run in the election as a candidate.
It's not possible.
What would the platform be?
Candy for everyone.
Yeah.
One issue.
One issue. Yeah, exactly.
Not enough candy.
And the other thing is
mind your own business.
Mind your own business.
And the other thing is, we do want to start doing live shows. I think we've,
yeah,
something we've thought about for a long time. So we might start dipping our toe in and experimenting with live podcast records and see if there's any appetite for it. I don't know. If we like fly out to Toronto and try and do a show and three people turn up,
it'd be great.
That'd be great.
Oh my God.
That'd be great.
You five would have a good time, I'm sure.
Just move to the bar, get off the stage, and just go drink at the bar.
We're bringing the microphones over to the bar. Make room.
I mean, like, I'm excited to be a part of a show that continues to grow and entertain people. I mean, I grew up in a family of entertainers, as I've mentioned on the show before. Both of my parents were professional comedians growing up, which made things weird but entertaining. And so I just kind of grew up in a family of entertainers, and I like the idea of entertaining people, and I like being a part of this podcast. And Reese and I have constant conversations about, like, what can we do next? How can we grow this podcast? How can we do other shows, television, podcasts, et cetera, et cetera. So it's just, yeah, it's exciting to me.
We never do anything. We talk about
it. Yeah, we talk about it. We don't do it at all.
The weird thing, that's the weird thing with the politics show, is that our audience is typically like 40 and under from the stats, which is really... really interesting.
It's great,
because that's not the, you know, there's a different generation people watching things like This Hour is 22 Minutes. So it's fun to kind of be tapping into a younger audience, especially because they're the kind of people who don't normally vote as much. So to be able to talk about politics with that crowd is good fun, I think.
Yeah.
And I have to ask you, Reese, about your new podcast company, Podstarter. I'm super just curious about how that's going and what it's about.
Brand new, started last week. It's amazing.
It's terrible. We make awful shows.
It's true.
No, we launched about 2 years ago, and we make business shows. We make we're currently making a show about which is a really hard show to make, because it's really really heavy to listen to, but it's about transition houses for women who are fleeing domestic violence, which is kind of like a documentary podcast that we're building. We do there's another comedy show that we've got called The Demon Seed, which is a spin-off of a show I used to make in the UK, and that is on episode 4 at the moment. That's grown really well too. We've got a show called Little Blue Suitcase, which is about a guy who found love letters between his grandparents in World War II in a little blue suitcase in the basement. And we do like corporate work, and yeah, it's cool. We're based in Halifax, but we're making a lot of shows at the moment. It seems to have taken off. People seem to like podcasts all of a sudden. I remember when nobody else did.
Do you think this is kind of, maybe this isn't a fair question, but I'm curious, because you guys are you have Podstarter and you're with a network. Do you think that the days of independent Canadian podcasts are over? Do you think that independent Canadian podcasts can still rise and thrive? Cut this question. I'm just curious what you guys think.
No, Canadian politics is boring. Has nothing to do with Podstarter.
No. It's a separate thing.
And Reese literally just wrote to Apple Podcasts and straight up asked them, "Hey, can we get it into a noteworthy, please?" And they said, "Sure."
Yeah, that was just, like,
that's
that was
how
like
we started.
First month.
Yeah, like, within our first month, we just asked, and they said, "Okay," and that's got the attention of the Frequency Podcast Network, and it went from there. So.
Yeah. And I honestly think that all the stats are showing that Canadians are moving towards Canadian shows, and you just got to look at a lot of the front page of Apple or the front page of Spotify, and there are a lot of original Canadian offerings, and I think that as time goes on, there's podcasting is, you know, is still growing, it's still expanding, it's constantly changing. But I don't think that networks are great, and I think that they'll always be good because they'll be able to put money into making certain kinds of shows. But I think podcasting's always been this grassroots thing. It's always been people in their basements talking to their friends, and that's, it's kind of, there's an accessibility to where anyone can start a podcast. And I don't think that will ever go away, because all you need is a smartphone or a small recording equipment. And I want the bar to remain low, because if you don't have the money or you don't have a lot of time, but you still have something important to say or a cool show idea, you should be able to make it. And that still does happen. And I think that while networks are able to kind of, like, you know, cloud out the front page with releases because they build those relationships, I like to think that, you know, there's still the opportunity for independent shows to go through, because this show's only existed for a year, and we didn't have any money or anything to get started, and,
And I didn't know anyone in any networks before we set up, and we just started having fun and talking nonsense, and
yeah,
people seemed to like it.
and don't forget that also that there's different layers, different types of success when it comes to podcasting. A lot of people don't talk about it. Most people, when they talk about a successful podcast, they are thinking strictly in terms of audience numbers, a la Joe Rogan sort of thing, where like if you don't have millions of listeners to be able to draw in an audience, like sponsorship deals, then why even bother? But that's not the case at all. There's like a lot of different reasons. Like actually, that's one of the reasons Reese got into Podstart from what he told me is you know, there's companies that just want to be able to express certain information to people who are they already their customers or their customer base. And that could be 1,000 people, you know, or they could be 500 people. And if they're reaching that 500,000, you know, people who are already interested in that, then they've done their job. You know, like I know people who use their podcast as a cathartic release, almost like my one of my podcasts that I listen to, I've mentioned it a bunch of, We Live on a Planet, Patrick, he uses it almost like a personal journal for himself. And like, he's got a, you know, a number of people who listen to it on a regular basis because it's relaxing and calming. You know, and so like, there's different metrics of like, how are you expecting to measure success with your podcast? And if the answer is only ever, I want to make millions of dollars through advertising and having millions of listeners, good luck. It's definitely possible, but that's not the only type of success you can have with a podcast.
Yeah.
Laura Palmer hasn't like solved the missing man on Vancouver Island, but you know, she's put out this show and investigated a story that was she thought was under investigated, and since putting that out, she's gotten all kinds of tips and people are talking about it. Like, there's lots of good reasons to have a podcast beyond, you know, becoming Joe Rogan. You can do a lot of good, and like, people are using it in a public interest kind of way, and I think that's awesome.
Think about the amount of really, really cool people you guys have been able to meet because your show exists.
Totally.
Right.
We've made so many. We've also made a lot of friends too from podcasting.
Yeah, you can like make a lot of friends.
Very under talked about, I feel like, but it's just like it's a great community. Like, especially in Canada, yeah. It's just not that big, and it's such a great community. And I find that like everyone we meet is so cool and like kind and wonderful. So it was a pleasure to meet you guys today. So can you tell us where can people find you? Where can they listen?
You can find Canadian Politics is Boring anywhere that podcasts can be found, such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Network.
And the other ones.
And the uses. Other ones that nobody uses. That's
less than 1% of people. And also CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com.
Our half-finished website.
We've got a website that is at poor.
Some really cool pictures, though. Worth seeing.
We're
seeing pictures on this.
You did.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Yeah, Jesse's like doing a one-handed handstand.
Oh yeah, my days.
Am I more familiar with it? You guys.
Let's I used to do capoeira when I was younger.
Spell everything. But, I think the and yeah.
So oh, and great. Like unlike I don't know, Reese puts a lot of really funny stuff on our Instagram.
Yeah,
as well. So the key's constantly kind of urging people, and we've grown quite a bit. I think we're up to 700 Twitter followers and 500 something 600 Instagram. It's, yeah, we're not a powerhouse, but like. We were at like dangling on 50 people for like a number of months.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it just kind of kept like Reese just he won't shut up about the Instagram. He won't. And it grows.
A lot of humble bragging here, you guys.
There's nothing humble about it. There's 7.
So
811 followers on Instagram is what I'm seeing.
Wow. Oh, wow.
It's gone. We've got one since this conversation happened.
There you go.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, you guys, for coming on the show, and we hope to have you back again.
We have to do a call to action. We do a call to action at the end of every show.
Yes.
Okay.
The call to action should be either my call to action, Reese's call to action, and you guys can have a call to action, and our audience member, our audience listener, can decide for themselves. My call to action, dear listener, is to go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com's merch site and purchase for you or a loved one a Seduced by Ottawa T-shirt. Reese, what's your call
mine is just have a nap.
That's a good one.
It's a hot day.
I can get behind that one.
What are you guys' call to action?
I'm going to be boring and I'm going to say go follow us and your podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Give us a follow.
Okay.
I'm going to say leave both podcasts a review, please.
You're all business here at the Just Watch Me podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Yes, thank you so much. This was a lot of fun. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
If you want to keep up with us in between episodes, you can follow us at Just Watch Me Pod on Instagram and Twitter. Send us your thoughts and feelings about the show at justwatchmepodcast@gmail.com. And it really helps us if you can rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts.
Thanks. See you next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th, at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.